talk with others. So I want to begin in Jeremiah chapter 34, and unfortunately a response that is often received from the Word of God when one hears it, when he knows what he ought to do, yet he only gives lip service. That was the type of reaction the Jews were showing unto God in the day of Jeremiah. They knew what they should be doing. They knew right. They knew wrong. And yet they decided that they would follow wrong even as they wanted to claim to be God's people. And even when they said, "We will do that which is right," they quickly turned and decided to follow that which was wrong. The particular occasion that we're looking at here in Jeremiah 34 is the people have not been listening to God's Word. Back in Exodus chapter 21 and verse 2, God had long ago told His people, "If you buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the seventh year he shall go out free for nothing. You take one of your brethren to be your servant, you release him in the seventh year. No fee, no payment, he goes free." Yet the people had not been observing this. And so Jeremiah is told to go to them. In Jeremiah 34 and verse 8, this is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, after that the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them, that every man should let his manservant and every man his maidservant, being a Hebrew or of a Hebrewess, go free, and that none should serve himself of them, to wit, of a Jew, his brother. And so the king has made a decree. You are going to go forth and you're going to let all of the Hebrews that are your servants go free because you haven't been releasing them as you should have. Verse 10, now when all the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant heard that everyone should let his manservant and everyone his maidservant go free, and that none should serve themselves of them any more, they obeyed and let them go. Now if we stopped right here, everything would be fairly good. God's will has been shown. The king has made a decree. We're going to let these Hebrew slaves go free, just as God had decreed many, many years ago. The people agreed and they did it. We're serving God. Sounds good up until that point. But unfortunately, verse 11 is recorded there as well. But afterward, they turned and caused the servants and the handmaids, whom they had let go free, to return and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. I don't know what period of time passed, but some period of time passes here and the people decide to turn back on their word. We've said that we would follow God, and indeed we began to, and yet after some amount of time, we let that word slip. Still, a people that would like to be called God's people would surely like to be considered faithful and receive His blessings, and yet they have turned back and not followed after God. Jeremiah comes to them again and he says, "You're just like your fathers. You treat God just like your fathers did before you." Look at the very end of verse 14. He says, "But your father hearkened not unto me, neither inclined their ear." Verse 15, "And ye were now turned, and had done right in my sight in proclaiming liberty every man to his neighbor. And you had made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. But you turned and polluted my name, and caused every man his servant and every man his handmaid, whom you had set at liberty at their pleasure, to return and brought them into subjection, to be unto you for servants and for handmaids." And so he reminds them, this partial obedience, this saying that we would do right, even the beginning to do right, and yet not following through with it, doesn't amount to obedience to God. We can't fool ourselves into thinking that just because we'll say that we're going to follow God actually means that we are following God. Just because part of our lives portray that we're following God doesn't mean that we're doing all of the things that we know that are right and good. And that's where these people found themselves. And so Jeremiah warns them in verse 17 through verse 22, because of this, the judgment of God is going to come upon you. Just reading verse 17, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother, everyone to his neighbor, "Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord, to the sword, to the pestilence, to the famine. I will make you to be removed in all this kingdom of the earth." You haven't followed God. Even though you said you did, and said you would, and even though you began, all that you have ever really shown to God is a lip service. In some ways, this was Israel's history. You go back through so many ages and so many times, and the people of God would say, "We'll follow after you," and then quickly, once again, they turned away. Time and again would want to claim to be God's people and yet not continue in faithful obedience to Him. It reminds me of Jesus as He is speaking to His disciples in Matthew chapter 21. And He will say in verse 28 through following that it doesn't matter ultimately what we say, but what did we do? He begins in verse 28, verse 28 of chapter 21 of the book of Matthew. "But what think ye? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in the vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented himself and went. And he came to the second, and he said likewise, and he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Which of the two did the will of his father?" And they said, "The first." Jesus saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, did not even repent yourselves afterward, that you might believe." You received the Word of God, but you refused to do it. Yet here were a people that claimed to believe in God, that claimed to follow Him, and yet when the One that had been promised in the Old Testament came and even stood before them, they refused to believe Him. They refused to walk after Him. And Jesus gives this parable. He says, which one did the will of his father? The one that said he would and didn't do it? Or the one that said he would not and then eventually went and did it? Our words matter, don't get me wrong. But if our obedience to God is only based upon words and it's never followed up with action, then that's not really obedience to God. They couldn't say, look at us, we're great servants of God, and look at all that we do, and yet you're not going forth and living the Christian life. You're not going forth and being obedient unto Him. This might be the one that says, you know, the Bible, God's Word, oh, it's a good book. It's certainly full of some good lessons that maybe we ought to apply to our lives. We're paying lip service to God. We can't hold that position and say this is nothing but a good book. It's either the inspired Word of God as it claims to be, or it's full of lies and hypocrisy. We can't have it both ways. This might be the person that says, well, I'm going to walk with God and I'm going to do His will, but... And then we list some area. I'm not willing to do this. I'm not willing to sacrifice of my time. I'm not willing to sacrifice of my efforts. I'm not willing to corral in my tongue. I'm not willing to love my neighbor as myself. I'm not willing to give up some pet sin that I have that I really enjoy, and I would rather do it than continue in faithful service to God. You see, we claim some partial obedience, but if we're going to overlook some other area of our lives, are we really following God? All we are doing is deceiving ourselves, and it's meaningless. We go again to James chapter 1, verse 22, when James told us, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Many in the world have deceived themselves, thinking because maybe they have heard God's Word, or maybe because they have read the Bible, maybe because they have done parts of God's will, that now I am pleasing unto Him and everything is all right in my life. But He says, if you're a hearer of the Word only and not a doer, you're only deceiving yourselves. What's an example of that? Well, you drop down then to verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, he puts forth that air, he appears that way on the outside, he would like for people to think that he's religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Here's one that maybe has all the outward appearance of being a faithful child of God, but he says you haven't really applied God's Word to your life. You haven't even attempted here to control your tongue and watch your speech, something that James deals quite a bit with in controlling the tongue, living that practical Christian lifestyle. He says, then your religion's vain. All you're doing is putting on this air. All you're doing is paying lip service unto God. And unfortunately, many in our world, and sometimes even within the church, that's all that's actually being accomplished. Because we come every Sunday, maybe, and we sit here for an hour, maybe even come back on Sunday night and Wednesday night. We think here we're a religious people, and yet we go forth into the world and we don't live like it. We couldn't hold up God's Word next to our lives and say, yes, they compare. Maybe we have fulfilled part of it and we claim to then be a follower of God, but have we really looked and have we altered our lives? Have we been obedient to the gospel? Have we decided I'm going to follow God and not my own will? Have I repented of my sins, confessed Christ? Have I been baptized or immersed in water? That's a good beginning. That's the start of the Christian life. But then you continue to grow, you continue to learn, and many want to stagnate there. There was a time the Hebrew writer was writing, and he says, you ought to be teachers. And you have need that one come and teach you again, Hebrews chapter 5. You haven't grown. You haven't desired the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. And so you've stagnated in your knowledge. To others we could speak of that, well, you have a good front there. But again, your life hasn't been altered. You portray yourself as a Christian, and yet the world knows you as one that's unloving and unkind. The world sees this is nobody that I would describe as a Christian. The world knows your tongue, it knows your language, it knows your dress, it knows your lifestyle. It says that's not the type of Christian I read of in the Bible. Are we merely paying lip service to God? It doesn't do us any good. Jesus Himself would ask, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Why are you going to call me your Lord? Why are you going to call me your Master? Why are you going to claim to follow me? And yet when we go to God's Word and we hear it, even though we've said we will follow Him, I won't do that. Oh, I'll do that. But I'm not willing to change that area of my life. We can't simply pick and choose. And that's what the people of Israel were doing on this occasion. They followed God for a time, but their true actions show that it was merely lip service. They weren't going to follow God in faithful obedience. But thankfully, we have an example next of faithful obedience as we go into Jeremiah chapter 35. I think it's possibly a commentary on the time and on the people that Jeremiah can't go unto the Jews and say, here's a faithful example of people following God. Instead, he's going to go to a counterexample. He's going to mention a people that are called the Rechabites. In contrast to the Jews' disobedience to God that they had shown, he was going to show them, here's an example of true and great obedience. Jeremiah is instructed, go into the house of the Rechabites and invite them into the temple. Set wine before them and have them drink. Look in chapter 35, verse 2, and also verse 5. Go into the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, and into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. And I set before them, verse 5, or before the sons of the house of the Rechabites, pots full of wine, and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. Jeremiah, you go and you take this people. You bring them apart, and you put a test before them, and see what they do. Who are the Rechabites? Well, It is believed that the Rechabites are not descendants of Jews or of Abraham, but rather were Kenites that are mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. Also, if we include in with that Judges chapter 1 and verse 16 and Judges chapter 4, verse 11, it's believed that these were descendants of Jethro, who was Moses' father-in-law. A people that likely traveled with the Jews, a people that settled down with the Jews and lived among them. And so, here they're used as an example. You go and you set before these people this wine and tell them to drink. And look at their response beginning in verse 6. But they said, "We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, and neither ye nor your sons forever." Well, who is Jonadab? Jonadab was an ancestor of theirs that was living in the time of King Jehu. Jonadab was very zealous for God. He helped to bring about some of the reforms that happened in Israel that are recorded in 2 Kings chapter 10, particularly verse 15 through 17. And so he had been zealous for serving God. And he had given his descendants certain restrictions that they were not to do. But what's important to remember is here is a man that wasn't their father or their grandfather. Here was a man that lived some 250 years before this time. And yet still, when Jeremiah puts this wine before them and he says, "Drink," they said, "We will not. Because of what our ancestors told us to do. We're still going to faithfully follow His word." In fact, they'll tell Jeremiah in verse 8 through 11, "We've always kept His word." Reading there in verse 8, "Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine in all of our days, we or our wives or our sons or our daughters." In fact, they're going to go on and conclude in verse 11, "We followed everything that He instructed us to do. The only thing in which we have changed is that we have had to move within the walls of Jerusalem for our safety. But other than that, we have exactly followed His will through all of these years." Here were a people that had been faithful. And Jeremiah contrasts that now with the Jews. Look at what they've done. And yet, what have you done? Let's begin reading in Jeremiah 35 and verse 13. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will ye not receive instruction to hearken my word, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed, for unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandments. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have hearkened not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way. Amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear or hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their fathers, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me." You see the contrast or the distinction he's making there between the Rechabites and the Jews? The Rechabites listened to the words of their fathers, but the Jews wouldn't listen unto God. The Rechabites here, they had once received this command and have continued to follow it, even though it was received some 250 years ago. Once received it. And yet what has God done unto His people? "Yes, you have received my word, but even above and beyond that, I have continued to send the prophets unto you to teach you, to instruct you, to plead with you, come back unto me and do that which is right. Time and time again I pleaded with you, and yet you have not followed after me." And they follow their father, and they only received that command once. The Rechabites were a positive example of long-term obedience. The Jews, we might be able to say, were examples of long-term disobedience. Time and time again, turning back after saying they would follow God and not fulfilling their promises. The Rechabites showed their loyalty to an earthly father. And yet here the Jews showed contempt and disobedience to their heavenly Father, to the Creator of all of the universe. And yet they still wouldn't listen unto Him. The Rechabites showed respect unto their father. The Jews showed contempt and disrespect unto their God. Which were you going to be like? I've got to go unto this people to give you an example of faithful obedience. They've continued to follow the will of their father, but you, even though I have pleaded with you time and again, and even though I sit in a position that's higher and of more authority, the God of all the universe, you still wouldn't listen to me. I've richly blessed you, and yet you still wouldn't listen unto me. I've pleaded again and again, and you would not listen to me. You've received the Word of God. Are you going to follow then in faithful obedience or turn back from it? We have the will of God that was once for all delivered to the saints. We have it recorded for us that we can study it every day and we can sit down and we can know, what would God have me to do? We have it preached. We have it proclaimed. We have ability to send this all over the world in many different languages. Through the powers of internet, radio, TV, web, on the internet, email. We have all sorts of methods with which to proclaim and send forth the Word of God into the world. We have all sorts of methods which we can sit down and study and know more about God and His Word today. And yet, what are we doing with it? Are we listening to it and continuing faithfully with God, or have we turned our backs on Him? He says, look at the example of the Rechabites. Here is a positive example of fidelity. Will you show that same sort of fidelity unto God? The Jews were going to be cursed because of their choices. The Rechabites would be blessed. Verse 17. Therefore saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them. Because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. I have called unto them, but they have not answered. Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandments of Jonadab your father, and kept all of his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you, therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. I'm going to bless you because you've done that which is right. Because you've continued faithfully. But to the Jews, you have not. You've turned your backs on me. And yet God, even still to us today, promises, if we'll continue with Him, will He not richly bless us? Again, the Hebrews writer asked a question in Hebrews chapter 12. And he would ask in verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? You've shown great respect unto your fathers. And I've no doubt much of the crowd that I'm speaking to had fathers that demanded respect. You showed respect unto them, and you've listened to their word, and probably many of you have followed their good advice. But yet here is God that loves us far more than an earthly father, that knows what's better for us far more than an earthly father. Have we listened to His word and followed Him? And what are the joys, what are the benefits of doing so? Well, you can either know the blessing or the cursing based on your decision. You have God's Word before you, and Christ has become the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. That's your blessing, eternal salvation for all them that obey Him, that follow after Him. That say, yes, I have the Word of God, and I'm going to follow after Him all the days of my life and not turn back. I'm going to have fidelity unto Him, faithful even unto death, Romans chapter 2, or Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. That's the kind of fidelity I'm going to show unto God. if I'm going to reject Him and turn back from Him and follow no more with Him, there is certainly a day coming when flaming fire and vengeance, in which God will consume them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. It says the choice is before you. You have God's Word. You have His pleading. But now what are you going to do with it? And so some will serve lip service unto God, but some, even like the Rehobites, will show a great fidelity unto their Father. And of course, we're talking about our Heavenly Father and having His will before us. Will we follow after it in faithful obedience? Fortunately, there are many still today that strive to do just that, that want to know and want to follow God's Word, not in lip service, but I want to be transformed. Not conformed to the ways of this world, Romans chapter 12, but transformed by the power of the gospel, that my life truly is changed. That I become a different person, that I become the type of person that God describes unto me in His Word. But you know, unfortunately, again, there's another attitude that's expressed far too often in the world, and that's flat-out rejection. We come to Jeremiah chapter 36. We have this illustration of a real-life example before us. Here we have King Jehoiakim. It shows his contempt for God and his contempt for God's Word. Jeremiah is instructed, beginning in verse 2 and 3. It says, "Take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations from today, or from the day that I spoke unto them, from the days of Josiah even to this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive them their iniquity and their sin." God is still pleading with His people. This is very late in the history of Judah. They're about to be carried away into Babylonian captivity, and yet He holds out hope. Will they listen to me now? Write this word upon a scroll and have it read in front of all of the people. But as it is being read in front of all of the people, there are servants of the king that hear it. The king needs to hear what is being written, verse 21 and 22. Here Baruch, which is a Jeremiah scribe, is asked to go out and read this to the people. Jeremiah himself is confined. He cannot get out. And so Baruch goes and he begins reading this. And the people say, the king needs to hear this. And so it is brought before the king. And it begins to be read. Let's begin in verse 21 of chapter 36. "So the king sent Jehudi to fetch this roll. And he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi read the three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife, cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, and all the roll that was consumed in the fire was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all of these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delilah and Jeremiah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. The king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamalek, and Sariah, the son of Azareel, and Shemaiah the son of Abdiel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them." Consider now the reaction of the king as these words of warning, these words of what God would have His people to do, were being read unto him. He took what God had written and he began to cut that scroll. As pieces of it were read time and again, he would cut off pieces of it and throw it into the fire until all of it was consumed of the fire. He didn't care to listen to God's Word. He even ignored the pleas of them that said, "Do not do this." And he sat there and he refused to tremble. He showed no fear before the words of God that were being read unto him. And in fact, he would even try to punish Baruch and Jeremiah, the very messengers of God's word. And he would try to silence them, but God had protected them. That was his attitude to God's word, and unfortunately, the kind of attitude that continues even today. Yes, there are people that flat out reject God's word. Do we find many today that are sitting there and cutting out scriptures from the Bible or cutting out pages and just burning it? Maybe not necessarily in action, but in word and indeed they are. People that question God's word and say, no, this is not God's revealed revelation. This is nothing more than a good book that we might look at. In fact, many would say this is just simply the work of men. In many ways, still, we're rejecting the word of God. Many want to say it's nothing that we should listen to. It's outdated. It has nothing to do with our lives. Put it away from you. Many would say that's just created to give people something to soothe their consciences that want to know where they came from and what to do in life and what the purpose and meaning of life is. And so they discount it. Many even today treat it in the same way. If we go to God's Word and we plainly see what it is that we should be doing and we flat out refuse to do it, not even paying lip service to God, just simply flat out refuse to do it, then we're doing much the same thing that the king did on this occasion. We are flat out rejecting the very Word of God and saying, I will not change my life. I actually did hear a story of one time of someone that was speaking to a lady and during a Bible study, and I believe it was Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, speaking of Peter's response there to repent and be baptized. She said, that's not in my Bible. He says, yes, it is. If we'll turn over there and look at it. He took her Bible and he began to turn over there, and sure enough, in Acts chapter 2, there was a section of Scripture that had been literally cut out with a knife and cast away. But let me ask you the question. Does it change God's Word any? Does it change the truth of the message that's been revealed? It didn't for the king here in Jeremiah chapter 36, and it doesn't even today. If you'll continue in that count, you'll look in verse 28 and notice that Jeremiah is to again take up the pen and take up the scroll and write all of the words that he had written before. You see, here the king could destroy the scroll upon which God's Word was written. But he couldn't change, he couldn't alter, and he couldn't destroy God's Word. It remained. And now the king himself would be punished and would be removed. Beginning in verse 29. You shall say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord God, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein? Saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah and all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. And so, verse 32, he took another roll and wrote the Word of God upon it again. He couldn't destroy God's Word. Instead, God says, you're going to be destroyed. You and the city, according to all the words that were written, it will be destroyed. And so does it matter today if men question God's Word? Does it matter today if they would literally cut pieces out of it and say, that doesn't apply to me or that doesn't belong? No. Jesus said long ago in Matthew 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. I think of a poem I heard years ago. It's called The Anvil, and I don't know the source. Last eve I passed before a blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring the vesper chime. And looking in, I saw old hammers on the floor, worn by the beating years of time. How many anvils have you had, said I, to wear and batter all these hammers so? Just one, said he, and with a twinkle in his eye, the anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so I thought the anvil of God's Word. For ages skeptics' blows have beat upon. Yet though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed, the hammer's gone. So many that have questioned God's Word have passed on, and yet God's Word continues to stand. And even still today, many can question, attempt to alter, change. They can flat out reject God's Word, but it doesn't change the truths that are written in. Still, it is the Word by which we will be judged in the last day, John chapter 12 and verse 48. Still, it is the Word in which is written in Revelation chapter 22. Verse 18 and 19, I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. You can alter, you can attempt to change God's Word, but it doesn't make it so. It continues to stand. And so we were even warned by Paul. As he said, as we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Even though it was an angel from heaven, God's Word would not change. It was going to last. It was going to stand. And it will continue to stand. Unfortunately, many continue to reject the Word of God, continue to refuse to listen to it. They have attempted to discredit and to destroy it, but they're gone. And God's Word is still here. What attitude are we going to show to God's Word? I imagine because most of you are here this morning, that you don't fall in that third category of flat out rejecting God's Word and the knowledge of Him and His will. Do you have an interest in Him? You have an interest in His Word, and you have an interest in doing what's right. But are we more interested in playing lip service to God? And being content by being able to say, well, I'm a Christian or I'm following God, and yet we've not changed our lives, we've not really followed after Him. We haven't continued in faithful obedience, so maybe we began. We began with a good start, and yet over time we turned back into the ways of the world and forgot God and ceased following after Him. Or, as I hope the case is, are you one that's going to decide, I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to follow His Word. He's shown me the way that is right, and so even unto death, I'm going to continue walking with Him. We have confidence. For the one that follows God's Word, we can read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, the world passeth away, and the works or the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Are you going to follow God faithfully? As we study what's written therein from week to week, are we going to apply it to our lives and continue faithfully with Him? Are we going to just claim to do so? Are we going to reject it? The choice is ours. The blessing comes upon those that follow God and continue in His Word. And I pray that you'll have that attitude even this morning. That you'll decide, if you're not a New Testament Christian this morning, that I want to be baptized into Christ, that I can be added into that body that He's promised to save, and live in eternity with God forever in heaven. There might even be someone here today that says, I haven't been faithful unto God. I've ceased following Him. I've turned away from Him. I've brought shame and reproach upon the church, but no more. I want to turn back to Him. Not playing lip service, not rejecting Him any longer, but being faithfully obedient throughout the rest of my life. There are many here that will surround you, encourage you, pray for you, help you in any way that we can. If you're subject to that invitation, wouldn't you respond even right now as together we stand and sing?